It's good to see all of you here this morning. Would like to extend another welcome to those that are visiting with us. You're truly an honored guest in our assembly, and we hope that this time that you spend with us will be beneficial to you. And if there's any questions that you might have or questions that you might have regarding Scripture and salvation, we'd certainly be willing to talk to you about those things and expound upon the Scriptures with you. The leading cause of death today among both men and women is heart disease. Because of that, doctors are always looking for signs that heart disease is coming. I remember back, I can't even remember what year it was anymore, it's been far enough back, but I was having problems with my gallbladder, and it was atypical in the way that it was presented, so that it felt like back pain to me. That's felt like some of the worst back pain I'd ever had, but that's where it hurt. That's what I thought it was. And I went into the ER, and by the time I got there, I'm almost hyperventilating. I'm in so much pain and dealing with that. And of course, the first thing they want to do is take me in there and see if I'm having a heart attack. They want to go in there and see if there's a heart issue. They want to make sure that there's not something extremely urgent to deal with first, when in reality, I'm just saying, please give me something for the pain. But that kind of shows us how high on that priority list doctors place the idea of looking at the heart, because there may be some issue there that they want to deal with before it's an even bigger issue. So much so that in our society today, there's a whole lot of money that gets spent in our healthcare industry just trying to identify it early enough so that something can be done to avoid the effects of heart disease and the cost of procedures to deal with it at a later time. And if they can see it early enough, then measures can be taken to minimize or avoid some of those serious complications. Great strides have been made in detection and treatment methods. Now, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not here to give you a medical presentation this morning and tell you all about the physical heart. There's a reason that I mention these things, and that's because the leading cause of death today, spiritually speaking, is also heart disease, though it's a little bit different. And so we must pay even more careful attention to the health of our heart in spiritual terms in order to avoid the devastating and eternal consequences of spiritual heart problems. And so I'm going to ask for a little bit of leniency from you this morning as I try to draw some correlation between the physical and the spiritual. Let's talk about these spiritual heart issues. And because there is some overlap in how these things are identified, some of these are easier to draw than others. But the first one that scriptures begin to mention talks about a blind heart. Now, physically, we can have high cholesterol, and doctors focus a lot on cholesterol today. I know my doctor does. And the result can be some reduced oxygen to the heart. It can starve the heart. It can lead to conditions like angina. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So scriptures describe this blind heart that we have to try to understand what the Holy Spirit is communicating to us. Because a blind heart is one that refuses to see the revealed truth that God provides to us. A blind heart is one that has intentionally closed itself off from the truth of God. Now, when we think about causes of heart disease, you might have a doctor that talks to you about some of the things that might lead up to an issue, either looking forward or even looking backward to tell you you kind of got yourself into this position. But the fact is, if we have this blind heart, spiritually speaking, then we can really only blame ourselves for this ignorance. It is an ignorance. It is a chosen ignorance. An impurity in the heart causes this blindness. That means that we keep putting stuff into our heart. We keep caring about all the things of this world that have nothing to do with our spiritual welfare and may very well be opposed to our spiritual welfare, so that we reach this point that the only thing we really care about are those things and we don't care about the truth anymore. The resulting condition is death. It is an alienation from God. The second one is a hard heart. This is a hard heart is one that no longer responds to the Word of God. So maybe you listen to the Word of God, but it doesn't sink in. It doesn't cause a change. It doesn't cause maybe a rise in blood pressure that tells you that this is something you need to work on. It's not a reaction of the conscience that says this is something that you're struggling with. Now, we understand the idea of hardened arteries in our bodies causing a decreased blood flow through the heart. The heart has to work harder to get anything done. Sooner or later, in that condition, that physical heart gives out. It can no longer do that work anymore. It's overworked. And it can cause other problems, kidney failure, blood clots, angina again. But this spiritual condition of this hard heart is very serious as well. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, he said, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. A spiritual hard heart leads to the wrath of God. Now, when we talk about hard heart, there's usually one name that just pops right to the top. It's Pharaoh. We think about Pharaoh and his hardened heart. And you look at the whole story before the Exodus, this interaction that Moses comes to Pharaoh with the message from God to release the Israelites so that they can leave and they can be his people. But you see, Pharaoh doesn't want to do that. And so we see a similar problem that leads to this hard heart as well, and that is that we are more concerned about the things of this earth and this life than we are about spiritual matters. And that hardens us to those things. As a preacher, sometimes we think about, well, how do I get through to somebody? How do I break through the whatever facade might be there, whatever might be preventing them from listening to the truth? And we realize that the more consumed one is of the world, the harder we have to work in order to break through. But ultimately, if they choose to have a hardened heart, then the resulting condition again is going to be death. It will be the inability to be reached by God. Well, that leads us into another one that we find described, which is a dull heart. And I relate this to simply just an unfit heart. Everybody has this understanding of going into the doctor and they'll do, you know, a stress test to see, you know, what your heart can handle, the fitness level of your heart. Well, I don't have to go into the doctor necessarily to know whether my heart is fit. I can know when I take a walk and what my heart rate does, or I mow the grass and I know that it's a little more difficult now than it used to be, say, 20 years ago. I'm not quite in the same shape that I was in. So I realize that lack of exercise leads to a heart that just doesn't have such an easy time doing the job anymore. It doesn't respond to activity the way that it used to. And small amounts of activity begin to tax it to a limit. So I'm one of those people that I kind of keep track of my heart rate. I know what my resting heart rate is. And if I'm exercising or I'm out riding on a bike, I kind of monitor when I reach that point where I've hit maximum, the maximum safe heart rate for me, and so I know where those things are, and I know how quickly I can get there, and that I need to back off a little bit, those types of things. But you start to realize, if you monitor those things, how quickly your heart begins to pump harder and harder and faster as you just do something different than you normally do. But it's like any other muscle. It needs exercise in order to remain strong, and inactivity weakens it. But in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, he said, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Well, Jesus is describing similar to what I just mentioned about getting through to them so that they react. But what he's also describing is they're no longer motivated. How important is your relationship with God to you? How high on that priority list is it? because we begin to become dull, and then we don't care that much about growing in Christ. Maybe it's because we're satisfied with where we've already reached, or maybe it's a matter of just, I don't see what the point is in knowing more Scripture or knowing more about this or reminding myself about these things. The motivation is gone. We have a word for that. It's called apathy. The heart does not respond to things the way that it used to. The person tries to avoid any extra spiritual activity that would tax them. In other words, what we do is we decide, here is a minimum effort level, and I want to be as close to that as possible. That's what we're describing. Jesus had plenty of people that were showing up to listen to him. They were showing up, as we talked about last week, to see things happen, to get fed. But when it comes down to it, when it came down to real change in their lives, they were too dull. It wasn't getting through. And the resulting condition, again, is death. It is the inability to be healed by God, to overcome the deficiencies within our life. Well, another one described today is a fat heart. Fat around the heart leads to calcification, hardening of the arteries, leading to other forms of heart disease. When I was in high school, it was in our biology honors class, and I'm not going to say that I was a great biology student. I did pretty well in chemistry, but biology really challenged me because of how much memorization it was and everything. But, you know, you look at those biology books and you see pictures of the heart, and it says, you know, here's this valve and here's this artery and here's this vein and all these different things. And so you kind of have this mental picture of what you expect a heart to look like in real life. We took a trip down to Houston in one of those hospitals where you had an observation deck and you could watch a surgery. And we watched an open heart surgery. And I was shocked when they opened this person up and the heart was yellow. It was covered in fat. I don't know. Even though the person was overweight, I just had this expectation in my mind. It was going to look like the textbook, you know. Nice, muscly little organ, you know, that just pumping away in there. No, it was covered in fat. And I was just shocked at that. And I remember that to this day because they talk about, you know, this fat around the heart leading to calcification, hardening of the arteries, and leading to other complications. In other words, you know, the heart is weak and it can't do its work and it puts pressure on. There's all sorts of things going on there. Well, Psalm 119 and verse 69 says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law." That's a problem. It's a problem to have a heart that's as fat as grease. James 5 and verse 6, "You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter." That's not complimentary. That's a problem. We become so self-indulgent and self-consumed that we seek the things of the world, and those things of the world choke out those spiritual matters in our lives. We think that we're self-sufficient. I don't have need of anybody else because I'm doing so well. We call this pride. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4 says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin." Judas might have suffered from that disease, taking money to betray Jesus. And remorse didn't lead him to repent. It led him to wallow in despair and take his own life. The result is death. They're unprepared for the day of judgment. The fifth problem is described as an uncircumcised heart. Now, I'm going to admit this one's a little bit harder to try to correlate to a physical heart condition. But that doesn't take away the impact of the warning that we should heed. It is a refusal to submit to God's will. In the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, it says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." This is rebellion, plain and simple. It is rebellion against God. Man is rebellious when he exercises his God-given free will not to worship God, not to have a relationship with God, but to choose sin over righteousness, to choose self over service, to choose the world over heaven. And the result still is death. God's wrath is held for us because we have chosen to be that rebellious individual. The sixth one is a wandering heart. A heart that is not established in godliness. It has no security in God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. This is characterized by spiritual weakness. It's very similar to that dull of heart. If you do not delight in God, if you do not enjoy His Word, do not be surprised to find that you are not grounded in the truth and you are not secure in God. Don't be surprised when the moment comes that you compare your path to the one that is laid out by God and discover that somewhere along the way you went astray and you're way off the path. You followed the world instead of following the Lord. The result still is death. It will lead to rebellion, but not in the same overt fashion as the uncircumcised in heart. The seventh we find is an evil heart. This is a direct result of a lack of belief or confidence in God. The Hebrew writer led to this continuing in chapter 3. Get down into verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Sounds kind of like that wandering and going astray that we talked about. It is literally a turning away from God, a departure from the source of life itself, from that living water that is being offered through Jesus Christ. The result still is death. And then we find a description of even a coveting heart. A coveting heart is a result of trained practice. It's a result of not restraining one. How does one begin to covet? Well, they're always examining what others have, leading to a desire to have those very things. Today, maybe it's not even a matter of what others have, but just what's advertised for sale. We're coming up into what is typically termed the holiday season. The commercials have already started. The ads have already started. I've already started getting emails for Black Friday. Do you remember when you were a kid and we used to get this catalog that was called the Wish Book? Anybody remember that? It was put out by Sears, I believe. And, I mean, it was chock full of toys and all sorts of stuff. I remember being a kid just kind of flipping through that catalog. And I remember at some point being told, you know, mark something you might want. And what did I start doing as a little kid? I'm marking almost every page. I mean, there was plenty of stuff in there I wanted. And we grow up into adults and we kind of do the same thing. We look around the world and we mark everything. I want it all. We do not restrain ourselves. We can't blame a child for looking at those things and seeing that that would be something they'd have some fun with. But as adults, we need to have grown past that. We become like those children near Christmas looking through the world of the wish book, and we just want everything. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, they have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. If we do not restrain ourselves, then we are training ourselves in this very practice. Covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3 and verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it becomes very difficult to come back out of this particular habit because we've gone unrestrained for so long. And left in that condition, the result again is death. Peter even calls it being accursed. So what's the solution? You go into the doctor and they look at you and say, well, your cholesterol's a little high, or maybe you've got hardened arteries, or maybe you've got this or that, and they tell you, look, this is the treatment plan. And a lot of times it's go home and eat better, go home and exercise. They might give you a prescription for a medication, something along those lines. They come up with some sort of a treatment problem. And you could ignore it. You get to say, I'm not going to listen to the doctor. I'm going to go home. I'm going to continue to eat the way I've always been. I'm going to continue to live the way I've always been. And we could wait for a heart attack. But we can agree that wouldn't exactly be the best course of action, right? Spiritually speaking, you can do the same thing. You can wait for a disaster in your life to consider your heart's condition, but the damage has been done. You may have a limited life after that point. Limited because of a damaged influence, damaged relationships, a life that has been trained in rebellious behavior. Perhaps even it might be that that disaster in your life is so sudden and so catastrophic that you don't have an opportunity to make those changes at that point. And so you've hurt your reputation, you've hurt the people around you, you lose your soul. You know, some people won't change their behavior and they think, well, you know, if I start having heart attacks or something, I'll do something about that. But some people will have a massive heart attack and it's done. There was no more chance. No more opportunity. Some people have little heart attacks that are so small that they don't even notice it and these things go by. My mother is one of those. You know, by the time she really started having her heart checked out, they said, we can look at your heart and see that you've had a series of heart attacks already. There was scar tissue and different things that were shown. But you don't know how that's going to turn out. You don't know how that's going to be. And I am very confident that if they had seen some of those things coming, she could have done some things that would have made at least for a better quality of life than what she ended up with after that point. Sometimes by the time the signs are evident to you and to the doctors and to everybody else around you, it's too late to fix it. There's already been damage done. And some people think, well, it's just never going to happen to me. No, no, no. You know, Papa lived to be 90 years old, I'll do the same. Some people have parents and grandparents live much longer than that. Overconfidence is a surer path to disaster. You ignore warning signs. Self-denial of what's going on. I'm fine when you know it's not. The thing is, these changes, this degradation happens a little bit at a time. It's not a falling off a cliff, usually. It's like walking down a series of steps. And so, spiritually, we do the same thing. We just kind of go down this series of steps and we don't realize how far we're descending. We don't realize how far astray we've gone. And there's not anybody that's immune. You could not look at this audience today and say that they are immune from all of these problems. Because even in physical terms, you see very fit athletes that turn out to have some sort of an undiagnosed heart condition, sometimes even passing away suddenly that so massive, so quick, there was nothing that could be done. You know, Peter believed that he would never deny Christ. And when he was told that he would do so, no. He couldn't even fathom that idea. And that night he denied Christ three times. And that hit him hard. He went out and wept bitterly when he recognized what he'd done. But sometimes what is unconceivable at one moment becomes reality at another moment. And so how do we have a way to avoid heart problems? Well, doctor's going to tell you, you need to have regular checkups. Every so and so often, we need to check you out. Spiritually speaking, we're talking about self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. That's something we need to do regularly. In fact, every time we open the Word of God and read those scriptures, we need to be asking the question, how does this apply to me? What does it mean for me? Doctor will tell you, yeah, you need to clean up your diet a little bit. You need to stop eating like a Texan and start eating like a vegetarian. We had Brother Mark Roberts in here a while back, and you remember he had some meal restrictions. Brother Mark had a heart attack some years back. And his doctor told him, you need to be on a vegetarian diet. And he went right into it. He's full vegetarian as far as I know. Doctors will start telling you, eliminate these foods from your diet. Take out things that will contribute to that disease. Are you feeding it worldly things? Your spiritual heart, is it getting a constant diet of worldliness to make it fat and weak, clogging it up so that the spiritual things can't flow into it anymore? Of course, he'll tell you, go and get some exercise. Go get a membership down at the Y and go down there and get on the treadmill, get on the stair step, whatever you're going to do. Work your heart out a little bit. It's a muscle. Build it up some. Spiritually speaking, use your heart the way God intended it. You'll build it up. You will build up your spiritual heart simply by doing what God intended for you to do with it. Keep it strong. Keep it pure. The bottom line is that in order to solve problems with the heart that we are warned about in the Scripture, we need to seek out biblical treatments for it. Of course, the most radical thing physically that we can do would be a heart transplant. Actually, get a donor heart from someone that's passed away, and they put that heart in your body and connect it. It's amazing that we can do that. It's incredible. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 31, it says, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourselves a new heart. Chapter 36, verse 25, in the same book, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That new heart is only received by turning away from sin. You cannot continue to do all the things that the world wants you to do and say that you have a spiritually strong heart. You cannot continue to feed worldliness into your heart and expect that you can counteract it with a little bit of spiritual thoughts or spiritual work and think that you're going to counteract all that so you can continue doing what you want. No. You only get sprinkled clean. You only get this from a new heart that is from turning away from sin. We have a word to describe that. It's repentance. Repentance is the only true answer to a spiritual heart problem. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We must leave sin and embrace Christ. We open up the scriptures and we discover that there are things that are told to us about our responsibility in order to be in Christ. We're told that we have to believe that He actually is the Son of God. In other words, believe what He claimed to be. You can't believe His teachings and then deny what He claims to be. Doesn't work that way. We're told that we need to repent of the sins that we have committed, and there's none of us that can say we have not sinned, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We must confess our belief in Him so that He will confess us to His Father, claiming us to be His own, being baptized for the remission of sins. That is where we gain that forgiveness of sins, and then we can abide in Him. We can truly be in Christ. But there is a key. The key that allows you to do all of that is still repentance, because without repentance, the rest doesn't work. You can confess his name all you want. If you're going to stay in sin, it doesn't do you any good. You can be baptized 1,000 times. But if you're going to be rebellious and continue in sin, you're just getting wet. You must repent of sin in order to gain forgiveness of sins. And then dwell in him and do everything we've been talking about, which is to avoid all these heart problems and live in a fellowship relationship with our God, our Father in heaven, who wants the best for you and for me. That's why his plan was there to begin with. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those that have done all that is asked of them in order to abide in him, living that life, following that narrow path that leads us to our Father in heaven. I'm asking you to diagnose yourself this morning, honestly. I'm asking you to think about your heart in an honest way against the warning signs of Scripture and do what needs to be done in order to fix those problems. If I can help you do that, if we can encourage you, if you'd like to be obedient and be baptized for the remission of sins, if you'd like the prayers and the help of the brethren, we extend an invitation to you. We've selected number 431. Won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing?